the Word of God, living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of the United Reformed Church here in Linden, as we go to the Word of God, here's our pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and this week again, we're studying the book of Revelation, and we're looking at the study here of the seven churches, particularly today and this week, to the church in Smyrna. So I'm going to read Revelation chapter 2, 8 through 12. And then we'll unpack what the Lord is saying to us through this church today. Remember, last week we looked at the church in Ephesus, and so today we pick up in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 2. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which are you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." What we're learning in Revelation is what Jesus thinks of his churches. This is extremely important, isn't it? One of the greatest motivations to be faithful to our callings as churches is simply the fact that Christ is with us, that he's among us, that he knows everything that is going on and everything that is happening in the life of his church. Every attitude, every heart, every work is being directly observed and watched by the risen Christ. And it's interesting, as I unpacked last week, this first church in Ephesus, it's a sad reality that even in the first century, many of his churches were not in good condition. But that is not to say that Christ was only about observing the faults in his churches. That's what makes this church in Smyrna fascinating to study. Oh, sure, this was a church just like every other church that was full of sinners. But the amazing thing here is that Jesus has no real criticism for this church. I find that moving this morning. That there are churches out there being very faithful to their mission and calling, and that Jesus here sets apart this church to encourage them to continue to be faithful. You see, not only does sin need to be confronted, but for there to be a positive movement forward, churches also need encouragement. And how wonderful that our Lord encourages a church that, outwardly speaking, was being tested like no other church had been tested, and all he gives them is encouragement and commendation. I want us to ask, as we study this church this week, why did this church receive this kind of treatment from the Lord? What was it? You can understand this a bit by comparing it to Ephesus. That church was charged with leaving its first love, meaning that when they formed as a church, they had a good grasp of who they were, what they were doing. They understood their mission, and there was a real passion as a church in witnessing to that name. But as time went on, Jesus says, not only did their love grow cold, but they left it. They were vigorously defending the truth, weren't they? But they had forgotten why in pride. What had happened was that this church had closed itself off to its mission. It became a closed box for the righteous. And they were making no advancement in their mission of witnessing for the name of Christ to those around him. It's an awful but a very common scenario where the church becomes so closed, it speaks only to itself, it talks only to its own, and it to the world, it considers all of it as just dead. There's no interaction with it, and therefore, there's no real heart for the lost, is there? The Lord's going to pull the plug on a church like that eventually. And so Ephesus was criticized for this, and And I wanted to learn from that church last week, and we unpacked that. And I want to learn today from this one, because Christ desires for them, the church in Smyrna, to know that he sees what they are facing and that he's with them, strengthening them to remain strong in what they're doing. Even when they have the extreme danger and threat of martyrdom knocking at their door. And this will be a really great application this week as we consider Christ's victory, that no matter how great the pressure is to be silent, the Lord is assuring his churches, be faithful to his witness and message, and he gives grace and help in time of need. Let's open this up today. This is verse 8 of Revelation chapter 2. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Now remember that our Lord is taking something right from him about himself in that opening vision and applying it directly to the church's situation. And so right at the front, he had to remind them that he died and that his death was the ultimate expression of all persecution, was what? Not victory for those who killed him. It was the greatest victory achieved because it was God's plan working out to save people from what he calls here in this section, the second death. I'll come back to that. But we really need to get into the heart of this church and the situation they were facing. Let me give you a sense of this city today to open up. Just north of Ephesus, 35 miles, was the city of Smyrna. The city was known as the Pride of Asia. Of all the seven cities mentioned, this one was the most glorious. In fact, there was a great rival between Ephesus, Pergamos, and Smyrna to be known as the most prestigious city among them in the Roman Empire. In fact, their coins claimed that they were the first city in Asia in size and beauty. Now, why is this important? It's because of this simple fact. Pergamos, or Smyrna, had become known as the most loyal city to Rome. In 195 BC, you know what was built in Smyrna? It was called the Dia Romana, a massive temple. And what made this temple so unique was it was the only temple known to have personified Rome as a goddess. In other words, it was a temple for worshiping Rome. Now, in about AD 25, all the cities of the region were vying for the right to build a temple for the great emperor Tiberius. And lo and behold, guess who was awarded the privilege? Smyrna. So there sat, in addition to the Dia Romana, another massive temple to worship the Roman emperor. Tacitus, a historian, wrote in his annals that Augustus and Tiberius had each allowed a single temple to be erected in their honor during their lifetimes. Such a temple would not only contain a statue of the ruling emperor that could be venerated in godlike fashion, but the temples were also dedicated to the Roman people. Listen, it was just expected that you worshiped in this culture Caesar as God. Did you know that Julius Caesar had a statue built with the inscription in Latin Deo Invicto to the unconquered God? The people would walk into these temples and they would sprinkle incense on the fire, which would burn before the emperor's bust. Smyrna was an incredibly patriotic city. You had all the emblems of Rome's great accomplishments. Let me make this comparable. This would be like putting up a Smithsonian of all the accomplishments of the United States and bowing before the symbol of the country, requiring that full, undivided allegiance be given to us. All of this was so ingrained in the people of Rome. Now here's the question. Do you think the Christians did this? They couldn't. Listen, they could not pledge allegiance to Rome because Christ wants undivided allegiance to him. They viewed that as idolatry. They could not worship Caesar as Lord. So, what do you think started happening? Jesus observes it in verse 9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. This is a real mouthful. You know what he just said about this church? This church was counting the cost. And counting that cost was having an awful consequence in Smyrna on those Christians. You can only imagine how unpatriotic these Christians were being viewed. Jesus says a few things that he recognizes that they are facing. I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty. As this church got together and said, we cannot as Christians be in part of that kind of worship, they instead, Acts 2, devoted themselves to prayer, the breaking of bread, and the word. And as they did this, the city of Smyrna began to respond. What began to happen? It wasn't that this church was poor because they didn't have money. They became poor. How so? The Christians were standing against these things. They were not sharing in the things that promoted the success and prosperity in Smyrna due to conviction, worship of Rome. The situation became so bad that the only real way you could share in the city's wealth and prosperity was to be involved with the worship of Rome. Listen, economic prosperity and social acceptance was determined by your involvement with the Roman cult. Do you know how great a pressure this is? Do you know that the city began to ban Christians from trade and take their property over this? Think about it. Because of taking a stand with Christ, the Christians in that city were becoming poor. Christ says, I know your works and poverty. You imagine this? That often what results in poverty is a direct cost of Christian discipleship. You ever think about that? You see, as Christians, they refuse to be involved with the emperor cult. They refuse to be involved with the shady business practices. And in the process, they were losing everything materially. They were becoming known as a poor church just 35 miles north of Ephesus. And Christ says, I see what's going on. I see the slander against you. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Lo and behold, who is causing all the grief? It was the Jews. The Jews were one of the only religious groups exempt from the worship of the emperor, only because Rome loved antiquity, old religions. This new sect called Christians, to which many of the Jews were converting, the Jews were severely leading a persecution against the Christians. Now, I want to pause today. We'll come back to this tomorrow. But you can't help but when you think about this, ask the question, what does your Christianity cost you? You know, today we're fighting for, in America, our shows, aren't we, in church? What kind of praise bands do we get? What kind of entertainment do we get? What do we? And you know what? These Christians in third world countries are suffering for taking up the name of Jesus Christ. We need to think about what our Christianity costs us today. What are we really standing on? Are we holding fast to his name? Are we making an impact in this world with the truth of the gospel? Are we standing strong, or have we compromised into the worldly system itself? May we as churches be faithful to our mission and mandate. Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.